I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. Our topic today, leadership, how to listen to your inner compass. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services, and we'll be hosting our program today. We have a few housekeeping items, and we'll jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the first time, Lighthouse provides in-depth work style and personality assessments for both new hire candidates and for staff development. We also offer a number of workshop topics to associations and trade organizations, and if you'd like more information, please email me as indicated on your screen. Our Keeping on Track open line series is in response to a number of calls we've been getting from many of our clients, both domestically and globally, to address the various business issues that most organizations are facing today. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen, you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many as possible. So please join us with your thoughts and insights you have along the way. And at the conclusion of our program, we'll open up the line. So if you'd like to talk directly with our guests, you'll be able to do so. You'll also want to have some paper and a pen handy to take notes, since we'll be sharing many ideas that you can consider and implement with your team and trusted advisors. Our special guest with us today is Paul David Walker, who is a longtime friend, business colleague, a great guy, has many insights and ideas we'll be sharing today. Many of you know Paul from his best-selling book, Unleashing Genius. If you haven't read it, the information for getting a copy is on your screen. It's an absolute must-read, especially for our topic today. And as we continue in our ever-adapting economic environment, it's a book that will get right to the heart and core of ideas within ourselves, with our team, in a very safe, gentle way, but very, very deep also. Easy read, great ideas.
Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. Paul is one of the few CEO coaches, and I know many, many people, but he's just one of the few, who has actually worked with numerous Fortune 500 CEOs and their key staff members for over 25 years, along with many mid-cap organizations. Some of the organizations that Paul has worked with include Starkist Foods, New York Life, Anne Klein, Rockwell International, countless manufacturing firms, global utilities and domestic utilities, service and consulting organizations. I feel privileged to have Paul with us today. Paul's done a number of shows with us, and they always get five-star ratings, and we're just so grateful to have you with us. I just wanted to also mention that at the end of our program today, registration for the next program will begin, and the topic will be fine-tuning your hiring using social media. It should be a really great topic. Paul, welcome back again. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure. It's always a great show, and I look forward to the process.
So why don't you take us to the first slide, and can't wait to get into this topic.
All right. I mean, one of the important things in leadership as a leader is to realize, as the slide says, cause and effect moves with or without you. So consumer needs and wants are constantly changing, demand cycles are constantly changing, and no matter what you believe or what you think, there is a flow of needs and wants out there in your marketplace, whether you're B2B or whether you're B2C consumer. The key, you know, is to get in sync with this flow, right? To know, if you will, you know, the reality of the moment. What's really happening in your marketplace? What's really going on? Problem that leaders have is success.
So, Paul, I have a question for you. So many people will say, I had this gut feel or something was speaking to me. Why is it important to pay attention to that?
Well, first of all, if you've been successful in the past, which most business people have, you believe that what you did in the past works, and because it did work. But as the economy is changing, as things are changing, sudden changes in the reality of the economic world can catch you by surprise if you're not present if you're not listening to that inner gut or what you call inner compass. I guess the story is best illustrated. So I was working with Don Ross, who's the CEO of New York Life in the 80s, and I was his coach, and we were trying to build a high-performance culture and align that with his strategy. And his employees kept coming to me in St. Paul, you know, you've got to talk to Don, he's losing it. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, he's moving all of our investments. And they had about $50 billion under management at the time. All of our investments, he's having us over the summer here, move them out of the stock market, and he won't even let us buy high-yield bonds. No, he wants us to put them into treasury bonds, really conservative deals. And literally, there were articles in the New York Times that said, well, Don Ross is losing it, should he retire soon, blah, blah, blah. Well, we all know what happened in October of 87. The market crashed, lost half its value in the course of 2 days.
That was Black Friday?
Yeah, it was Black Friday. And I was in New York at the time, and, of course, afterwards, Don was now, instead of somebody who needs to retire early, seen as a genius. And I asked him afterwards, I said, Don, what? Going to the next slide here. How did you know? So here's where your gut, your intuition comes in, because, you know, things move very quickly. Right? And he said to me, this is exactly what he said to me. He said, Paul, you know, in my role, I get experts advising me on the direction of the firm. And those experts are all Ivy Leaguers. They're all the brightest of the bright. And I have to make the final call. And I've always regretted when I went against my intuition. And I just knew this wouldn't last. And so I pressed him. I said, okay, now, what do you mean by intuition? It's a vague word. What do you mean by that? And he said, well, Paul, you've got to know the difference between the feelings that come from your ego and from your fears, your wild and crazy hopes, and your wisdom. You can connect and know things that may not be visible, you know, from a cognitive point of view. And what he said is, it's like being an athlete in the zone. You know, I've sort of named it integrated presence in my book. When you're in the zone, when you're driving to the basket, you're not thinking about what to do. You just feel the flow and you do it. And that's why your performance is so much higher when you're in the zone. And Don was able to get a real ability to do that in a business context. And so
How does someone know? Because people can fool themselves sometimes, and their ego is telling them something, or maybe the fear is driving. But how do you differentiate from ego or fear and your inner compass?
So they feel different. Okay, and the feeling is very similar. It's not an obvious difference, because we're mostly used to feelings that come from our ego, our fears, our wild and crazy hopes. In order to know the difference, you have to practice. You have to know when you've been in this deeper state, this connected state, where your intuition is working, where your intuition is not working. So my clients, I give them assignments. There's no substitute for practice. It says at the end of every chapter of my book, there's no substitute for practice. You have to know the difference in feeling. And how I have my clients do that is I have them go back to times when they were in that state of mind, when they knew and they were right. Then I have them go back to times when they thought they knew and they were wrong.
Ah, okay.
And so I actually have them do a reflective. I have them go back and check into the feelings they had at the time. And if they do it enough, they start to see, feel the difference. And they start to become familiar with this feeling of knowing, the feeling of intuition.
Oh, yeah, I have a question, Paul. That's a great example. So can that be done with a team?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, go through that process for a team, just so everyone can hear that.
So So I would take the team, and working with the team, and one of the first things I would do is explain some of this, but then I would have them go back, have them all close their eyes, if you will, and just go back to a time when this team was really in the zone, and they were working really well together. Just go back in your mind to a time, this team or another team you might have been on, maybe this team never did that, or some other team. And then I'll have them come back at me and tell stories about, you know, when they were in the zone. I mean, one of my CEOs told me he was captain of the softball team, and they were in the state championships. They had lost the first three games out of seven. And he was able to get the team back into the zone, and they won the last four. And the whole team got who they were, got their intuition, and then begin to, you know, respond to the game in a way that was so much superior to their competitors. Because the team was not lost in, oh, shit, you know, we lost the first three games. Just to show we can possibly win. No. A team can experience this.
Interesting. That's a great way to raise the level of the team's awareness of what's going on in the marketplace or within the organization.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, as we'll talk about a little later, you've got to be close to the marketplace. You've got to be able to feel it. You've got to be present. You can't be just reading reports. You can't be just looking at the data or listening to the pundits. You've got to get out there amongst the market and really be aware of, you know, what's going on with your customers. Market's kind of a term for the collection of all the customers in a given vertical. But you got to get close to them. You got to feel what's going on with them. You got to know. And once you know, it takes practice. That's where courage comes from. The next slide is about courage. You know, how many times have you thought you had the right answer, and now you're going to make the decision to bet the farm, right?
Right.
So, you know, one of the things I say is basically three things to leadership. One is knowing the answer, which we've been talking about, right? Two is communicating the answer in a compelling way so that your people follow you. Don did that in his own way, even though some people left the company thought he was crazy. But if you know, if you practice and you know the answer, you know you're going in the right direction, that gives you courage, courage to act. And Don acted, and people were criticizing him, and the press was criticizing him. He knew. That gave him courage. You can't have courage if you don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But if you know, then courage, oh boy, it's easier. It's still tough when everybody thinks you're crazy. Still tough.
And to reinforce that, to help from a security standpoint within yourself, go back to times when you thought you were right and it's proven that you were right, and use that as a foundation.
Foundation for your knowing, yeah.
Okay.
And once you get this, you're doing it all the time. I mean, I'm all the time noticing, all right, this is the feeling I had, this is what I did, it was right. Or it's the feeling I had, this is what I did, off. So it's constantly observing yourself. I always say, everyone is your teacher, but only you can free yourself.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So everything that happens to you is feedback. But only you can act, only you can free yourself from, you know, your thoughts or some action you may have taken otherwise, right?
Right.
Yeah? But, you know, that constant awareness is what draws you, you know, to make the right decision. It gives you the courage to make the right decision. And, you know, how does it feel? And that's the next slide, I think.
Hey, but Paul, what's the definition of courage in your mind?
I would say courage is feel the fear and do it anyway.
Ooh, okay.
Right? I mean, you're going to do something that may cost the farm, may be dangerous for you personally, but you know it's right, and you go forward anyway. You're still fearful. But nonetheless, you say what you know to be true. I was in a meeting this morning where I did that. Just about everybody disagreed with me.
Yeah.
Right? But I knew what I was saying was at least my truth, and so I tried to explain it to them, and after a few explanations, what happened to people, I see. I've experienced that. And that's what I asked them to do, is go back. And you might. Now, you know, the next slide is, how does it feel? I can describe it. I've done this 100 times with people. Right? You feel confident. You feel at peace. You feel exhilarated. You feel powerful. Grace and presence. You have a focus that is measurable. Think if you watch a Super Bowl team, the interviews before the Super Bowl, you can see who's really there and who's trying, going to try to win. You know, and who's actually going to win? There's this humility, there's this exhilaration about the game versus feeling confused or stressed or overthinking or being irritated or unsure. You know, those are feelings that come from our thoughts. But once you connect and you know,
I like that point. You got to learn to know the difference.
Have to. I mean, it's like if you were standing on a railroad track and the train was coming, you know, right? You have to move.
Right.
Right. You don't go, I wonder if it'll really hit me. Well, it is coming on this track, and I'm standing on the track. And, yeah, it's probably fun, you know.
Right.
You know, you move because you can see the train, you can feel it, you can hear it. And the same is true in the marketplace. If you're close enough to it, close enough to your customers or your people, maybe you're having problems with your team. You know why the team is upset on some level. You should be able to feel it if you're close enough to it. You know what the issue is. Oftentimes leaders pretend they don't. Like they sent me out to Scranton, you know, what are people upset about out there? I don't understand it. Well, you know, I found out. I think it was pretty obvious. The person they sent in there to run the company told the employees that we may just sell this company and move it. You know? So,
oh, my.
So the employees are like, what? We're in a recession. Then he turns around and asks them to, you know, go above and beyond the call of duty in order to keep the company going. And,
right, right.
You know, it's just it's a stupid thing to do. He thought he was being honest. Well, I'm being honest with him. Okay. You got to know that that's not a good guy to be honest with.
Right, right, right.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Geez, come on.
That does take practice, though. To go back to when were you at peace, when were you exhilarated, when was the team successful and powerful and executing versus when the team was running around with their head cut off because of stress.
Exactly. And you can almost count on it. If you're stressed, if you're irritated, if you're angry, it's pretty good indication that your thoughts are not clear. I mean, I always say, you know, if I'm traveling and I've got jet lag, and, you know, I'm just grouchy. I know my thoughts are not reliable. You all know that. If you're really exhausted, you're tired, your thoughts are not reliable. You know, don't get in an argument with your wife when you're in a bad mood. It's probably not going to work out.
Right.
or if you're angry at her, if she's angry at you, sleep on it. Talk about it. Don't avoid it, but don't talk about it when the feedback your psyche is giving you is that something's wrong. And it's that simple. It's like you put your hand in a flame. It hurts, you pull it back. It's your body's way of saying, not a good idea. That's what pain is for.
Right.
Well, psychological pain serves the same purpose. You're stressed, confused, irritated, angry, sad. It's your psychology telling you, your thinking's messed up. You're doing something that's not working. It's so simple, and yet people find it hard to differentiate between their own psychology and how it affects their mood and how it affects their perception. States of clarity that we've all experienced at some point in our life. I suggest the listeners, after this, take time and write down in their journal or on a piece of paper, whatever, all the times you were in a peak performance, you were in a state like the zone, you were in a state where everything seemed perfect, everything seemed to work, and the decisions you made were extraordinary. Those down. Get at least five of them down. Then you're going to begin to understand your roadmap into your wisdom or your intuition. You'll start to understand it. Because it's different for everyone.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. We're all different. Now, the next slide is why this works.
A question, Paul. That's a great segue into the next slide. Question for working with teams within an organization.
Okay.
What would creating a roadmap look like for a team, like whiteboarding it or something around this topic?
Well, the first thing I'll say to a team, I'll say something. I'll present this notion about moods and states of mind. And I'll say, have you ever tried to persuade a team that was in a bad mood changing the way they do things? Of course.
Mm.
If you've ever walked into a room and everybody's in a bad mood, they're angry, you can feel it. I mean, it's not like a mystery, right? I mean,
right.
It's not like, well, geez, are these people angry? I think you can feel it. I mean, unless you're totally unconscious, right? So if your team is angry or distressful, and then you try to solve a major problem with them, it's just not going to work. Because they're all caught up in their thoughts and in their anger. And they're not able to see the strategic situation clearly. That's before I do a strategic planning offsite. I interview the team to see where their heads are at. If they're, if there's tribal warfare going on the team, they're angry at each other, they're angry at the company, getting off-site to do a strategic planning meeting, they're just going to be, in psychology they call it projection, they're just going to project their anger or their upset onto the strategic planning process. You've got to get the team healthy before you look at it as a problem. Otherwise, everyone's just going to be putting forth their own agenda instead of, looking or feeling the right direction.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you. That's very helpful.
Because here's the good news. And I'm not just making this up. There's just a lot of studies. It is a natural state of mind to be happy, to feel the flow of things around you, to know what's happening. That's why if you fall into the zone in sports or art or somewhere else playing an instrument, you don't really have to do anything. I mean, you have to practice, you have to know how to play the instrument, you have to know the story, you have to prepare your body, and so on. But everything else being equal, you and the person you're competing with have the same physical skills, relatively speaking. The person who's able to let go of all their thoughts and present and get in the own is always going to win. But if you study this, there's nothing to do. There's nothing to do. Just every athlete I've ever spoken to just says, well, I just let go and go with the flow. I can feel... Russell wrote a book about the Celtics who won like 11 championships. He said, I could just feel it coming on. And suddenly I was in the zone. That's because it's a natural state of mind. Thought interferes with your presence. Thought is for guidance. It is not reality. It's like I was saying to Dana earlier that, you know, the map is not the territory. It's when you walk up to the border of, between California and Nevada, besides the sign that's there, there's no dotted line that separates the states. The map is not, when you fly over the country, you don't see all the states, little labels on the cities, and, right?
Right.
But what happens to us is, instead of naturally responding to the flow of events, our consciousness becomes focused on our thoughts about past events that were similar to these, you know, which can be useful. But it's so dangerous, particularly in changing times, demand cycles are changing dramatically, and what people think is important is changing dramatically.
Does everyone have the compass, or do they have to develop it?
Everyone has it. It's the present moment, the reality of the flow, cause and effect around you. You can feel it. How you develop it is this knowing the difference. Everyone has it.
So some people may not trust it, but they have it.
Right, absolutely.
Gotcha.
Because it's where's your consciousness focused? Is it focused on thoughts that are generated by your fears, and insecurities, or is your consciousness focused on the moment, the reality of the flows of cause and effect that are occurring in the moment? So the key is to, you know, let go of your thoughts, or at least, you know, don't take them so seriously, because your thoughts are decisions you've made about some event in the past. But it affects your state of mind.
I need to share something here, because we're getting a little esoteric, and I must tell you that Paul invited us to do a team building activity for I would say a pretty tough manufacturing environment. Paul took these concepts and grounded them so much with these folks that they got so centered and out of the typical manufacturing, let's just charge ahead and make it happen, and where the rubber meets the road. He got them so centered in this and opened up, you could feel it. And they were so excited, because then ideas started to flow versus projecting out what they thought should be.
Yeah.
Their fears went down, and then ideas came out that would have been blocked if they hadn't gone through this process. Is that a good overview?
Yeah. Absolutely, because they would have spent all their time debating the thoughts
right.
each of them had about what happened to them or their company in the past.
Right.
Right. And, you know, the next slide is, you know, part of the answer. The present is the only portal to the future. So the future emerges from the present. Right. Whatever in the past led to the present, okay, the future is going to emerge out of the present. So if your consciousness, your mind, your feelings focused on the present, what's happening now, and that's what happens when you're in the zone, you can feel the future emerge. You can feel it. the best example I have for this is imagine you're at a dance. You're in a dance hall, and the band, metaphorically, the rhythm of the band, the harmony and the rhythms of the band would represent, let's say, the flow of the marketplace. So this is the flow of the marketplace, right? Metaphorically. Well, there are some people that are, it's a soundproof dance hall in this example. They're looking in the windows and seeing these people dancing, wiggling around. They're going, what the hell are they doing? These people are crazy. They can't hear the music. Or they can't feel the market. Right. And there they are. And then there's some other people that are at the wall, and they don't feel too good about dancing, so maybe they're tapping their foot, they're watching other people dance, and there's a few people that are out there dancing, and pretty much they're out of rhythm, but every now and then they'll get into rhythm and have a nice move. And I've heard people say, for that 2 minutes I was in the flow dancing, it was worth the whole night. And then you have the really good dancers, which generally congregate out in front of the band. They are really being creative with the sounds and the rhythms. And, you know, it's just wonderful to watch them. And some people actually start connecting with them and kind of flow with them. But what happens, this is where the magic occurs. This is business people we want to create the future, right? So what you'll see happening is the band will start to get creative with the really good dancers and start changing the flow and the rhythms to give the dancers something to do differently. Now, the dancers change the future. Because the band, which is kind of a metaphor for the marketplace, has adjusted to match the dancers. And the future just changed because the music's going to be different. And metaphorically, that's what happens. In the marketplace, you are part of the flow of cause and effect. Your company is part of the flow of cause and effect in your market. You are part of the market. The only way to know where that's going is to be completely in the present, dancing, if you will, with the flow of cause and effect in your market. And then you lead. But first, you have to meet the moment. Because if you're dancing to the rhythm of a band that was playing in the 60s, it's not going to look good. It's not going to work. You're not dancing to the rhythm of the band in the dance hall. You're dancing to some tune you hear in your head from the past. Likewise, if you're dancing with the signals that are coming from your market that were back in the 60s or even back in this case 2 or 3 years ago, you're going to be out of sync. You're going to be out of sync with what's really happening. And the next slide, of course, illustrates that you have to start with reality, with the present moment. Where is reality now? Engage in the present reality, then you become a co-creator. But if you're engaged with a reality that's only in your mind, with a reality that's from the past, you know, you're going to be out of sync with what's going on now. You know, if you're playing a basketball game, this championship game, and you just can't stop thinking about the last game that you lost. Or even the last game that you won. You're not going to be in the present. You're not going to compete very well. Because your consciousness, your brain is focused on something that happened in the past. Now, are there lessons from the past? Sure. Right? There are lessons from the past. I'm not saying ignore the lessons from the past. But you have to hold them in context with being in the moment. Like if you're dancing and you have a bum knee or something, you know, that happened in the past. you take that into account as you dance in the moment. But if you're not in the moment, if you don't know what's really happening in your marketplace, well, everything you do is going to be wrong.
So this could really help a sales department also, or customer service, because instead of going with the highs or the lows, just be centered and then move with that.
Yeah, I mean, a good cut, you know, one of my clients got audited by the lean people and all the other people, and he said it's the best customer service department they've ever seen. And what we taught them to do is to listen to the tone of the voice of the customers and their clients, and occasionally ask them questions of how you're feeling, what's going on in your world, and then reminding them that, you know, whatever is going on in your world, we're here for you.
That's probably the most important thing that the listeners today can remember.
Yeah.
Is you're there for your customers.
You're there for the customers, but you listen to... I mean, you wouldn't even do this with a customer and say, well, I'm feeling really, really depressed because, you know, our orders, our backlog is way down. You got to listen, right? You got to be present, right? This is not the power of positive. It's not like, oh, well, cheer up. You know, I know your backlog is down. And they may be laying you off. You know, get over it. You know, have a positive attitude. No. Listen. Be present. Hear them. And then respond in a way that connects with them, that helps them. You know, put out your value proposition. Here's how we can help you. Opposed to positive thinking, or as opposed to some formulaic approach that you might bring to the table. And that it makes a lot of sense, you know, when we're talking about it here. It makes sense. But somehow, psychologically, we tend to believe our thoughts more than our experience. And that's what intuition is about. It's really connecting with, you know, the experience of the moment. It's like a basketball player does when they're driving to the hoop. So they're not thinking about what to do. They've trained, they've practiced, they know the game, they're physically capable. And in the moment of truth, you've got to be present. Compass, if you will. And the last slide, we talk about this all day, but no substitute for practice. Master yourself. Master your thoughts. Know how to be present. I mean, first of all, putting business aside, you're present. You're going to be happy. It's great. Life is great. It really is. What's bad about life is your thoughts about life, particularly your thoughts about what happened in the past or what might happen in the future. You've got to know the difference between a state of mind that is highly perceptive. Everybody who's ever been in the zone knows they are much, much, much more perceptive than you are in. And, of course, you have to know the difference between when you're fooling yourself and when you're really feeling the flow of cause and effect in your industry, in your life, in your relationship with your employees, your relationship with your boss. You've got to know the difference. It takes practice. It's not easy. But this is what mastery is about. You want to become a master of something. You understand, you know, the reality of that thing, and then you master it. And it's always being present, meeting the present where it is, and affecting the flow in the future. It's always high performance teams, high performance people, mastered. That is your inner compass. You gotta know the difference.
Yeah.
The bullshit that comes from your mind and what's really going on.
That's a good way. That's a good way to conclude, Saul. That's great. In just a few minutes, after we conclude this show, I'm going to turn the recording equipment off, and we'll open up the line so you'll have an opportunity to talk with Paul directly on this topic. You'll see on your screen an area to register for our upcoming April 21st open line, which is entitled Fine-Tuning Your Hiring Using Social Media. Please sign up today and reserve a space for yourself, and let us know if you'd like your staff or other colleagues to attend. In the next few days, you'll receive a recording and a PowerPoint for today's program. Please feel free to share it with others in your organization or within your association. Paul and I want to thank you so much for your time today and for all the valuable ideas that have been shared. If you'd like to contact Paul to have a further discussion on specifics about your industry, your team, or to have some one-to-one time together to discuss any of the ideas shared today, you'll see Paul's contact information on the screen. The information shared today is the property of Lighthouse Consulting Services, LLC, located in Santa Monica, California. Our mission statement is to bring effective insight to your organization. If you'd like more information on our services, please write me at dana@lighthouseconsulting.com. If you have other topics you'd like us to address, just let us know. Thank you so much for joining us, and we're looking forward to having you join us for our next Keeping on Track Open Line program. Hold the line. Have a great day, and I'm going to open up the line in just 1 second, so please stand by.